Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning. And thanks so much for tuning in to Lifestyle for a Lifetime Holiness. I'm your host, Dr. Gwyneth Williams, and it is a blessing today to be able to minister to you from this lovely place, Hong Kong. And last week, we were at the airport going to Taiwan. We had an awesome journey, an awesome trip. This whole church was based on outreach, more of an evangelistic outreach. And just to give a little testimony about the journey, they actually had 80 people in their church were previous bar owners. Now, that's what I'm talking about, taking a city. And, you know, the scripture says in Psalms 2, ask of me and I will make the nations your inheritance and the earth your possessions. And I believe that's spiritual as well as we're to take the natural territory. And they had people that were going through deliverance there. And the key thing is that those 80 that are previous bar owners in Taiwan, they are actually going into the other bars. I think there's about 100 more. And originally there were 220. So the other 140, they're actually going in and having small groups and meeting with the people at happy hour. Now, what do you think about that for taking territory? Instead of how about a drink of this, how about a drink of the Holy Spirit? We were so encouraged, so inspired. It was a very dark area, principalities and powers. The church they had they're in, they actually had three people thrown or jumped from the window above. This is how the powers of darkness prevail so in this area, and have fallen to the ground into their death. And so a lot of people don't even want to be in that church, but they are actually taking territory. And just so you can understand the culture of the Taiwanese, they are actually I was told 98% of the people there are pretty much Aborigines that attend that church. So it was a very great and awesome cultural experience. We were able to share some, pray for people for deliverance, and it was just a wonderful, awesome time of what they're doing there in Taiwan. But we're back in China. Today we're actually in Hong Kong. We had a wonderful service last night, ministering and seeing people receive the blessings of the Lord and imparting and reminding us and one another that we are sons and daughters of God, but most of all, we are heirs. So let's move along quickly. 30-second synopsis of the reasons for unanswered prayer. And in our introduction, we've talked about is lack of faith the reason your prayers aren't answered? I believe naming it and claiming it, confessing it, I believe that. And possessing it, and what you say is definitely what you get, because if you fear some things, those things that you fear can come up on you if you believe it. Give, and we have been giving special conditions and guidelines about things that block our prayers are not just lack of faith, but they're wrong living, wrong praying, and wrong expecting. So we talked about wrong living, unforgiveness, unconfessed sin, unfruitful Christian life, unresolved family conflict. And last week, our emphasis was on wrong praying. And those of you who are taking notes, wrong expecting as well as wrong understanding. And then what should be our response to unanswered prayer? And then we will have our conclusion. So the remaining highlights and headers that I just brought out will probably take at least 2 months to get through, because on these particular points of just wrong living and introduction, it's already taken a month for us to cover the unforgiveness, the unconfessed sin, the unfruitful Christian life, and the unresolved family conflicts. Now, last week, we started on the second portion of the outline, which is wrong praying. So we won't go back over in the detail, but we did talk about praying half-heartedly and praying selfishly. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss with wrong motives. So when we pray, we have to make sure that our motives are correct in what we're asking for. And I believe everything that we do should be based on our prayers for the kingdom. And when we ask for the things for God's kingdom, everything else will be added to us. So then it's the law that has governed according to the spiritual things. Because our motives are wrong, but when we ask for the kingdom, that's God's heart. Throughout the whole Old Testament, we look at everything that God was doing in and through the people, even the children in the wilderness, was all he wanted them to have their motives correct, and they could ask and have had anything, but that 11-day journey turned into 40 years. So when we have the wrong praying, we miss the blessings. So what is your 11-day journey? You know, why is it that we haven't got there? You haven't got there. Is it because we've asked wrong or we have wrong motives? So that we want this money to spend on our pleasures, but we don't want to make a deal with God, or he is not our bellhop or our Santa Claus. You know, God is saying, you're here for this time, and your prayers will be answered when you get in line and you take care of kingdom business. Because God, he doesn't just cater to what we want. He caters to his kingdom and his kingdom business. So that's kind of a recap of what we talked about last week. But please listen to this series. It is really helpful, and it will help you get to the next level. And the things that you've been wanting God to do in your life, and the things that you have been missing, is because of the order of God and his kingdom and kingdom mindedness. Now let's look at Matthew 6, and we are going to read 5 through 7, and this scripture, everyone probably could quit, but it bears that we read it. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. So when you pray, you're not to be as the hypocrites. This is another translation. For they love to stand and pray in the churches and on the street corners and in order to be seen by men. But he's saying here, now I want you to understand that this is Jesus talking. And he says, I say to you that you're going to get your reward in full. Because sometimes people are praying for show. This is not a show. A heart issue of sincerity towards God. So he's saying, if you're praying for show, and I believe when if you're in public and you're praying, if it's insincere is what he's saying. I mean, God wants us to pray, but it goes back to the motive of our heart. I know we were trained as kids. Our pastors always came in, and they got on their knees in the pulpit. And when they finished praying, they always got on their knees to give glory back to God. Or when they finished preaching, it's reverence, it's honor. You can come in and you just want to, before you go into, especially if you're ministers, you know, even if it's bowing your head, just praying to God. But he looks at the heart. What are you praying? Why are you doing it? So if it's insincere, like the Pharisees who prayed, this is what he's saying. You don't pray for show or because it's insincere, like Pharisees who pray. Lord, I thank you that I'm not like other people. This is what Luke records, that he was praying to himself. And this is how the Pharisees stated it. But Paul sought the Lord earnestly three times. Even he was like, God, oh, Lord, Lord, Lord. Why do I have this thorn in my flesh? It was an attack from Satan, yet he wasn't delivered. And some people say different things in different theological aspects, but he sought God. Was it in order to keep him humble? Maybe that was an area where God knew his heart. And this was something that he did to keep Paul humble. But now let's look at the scripture here, and just we can just kind of think about ourselves and when we pray. Is it with your heart? Because if you're praying, this is a spirit, actually, it's a spirit of pride. And if we have a proud spirit, that is what kicked Satan and one third of the angels out, because he wanted to be like God. He wanted to be recognized. It was because of his pride. So when we pray, I always ask, what are we praying? Why are we praying? And examine our hearts. Are we being proud? Are we praying to be seen? And so just ask the Lord, and we can look inside, and we know the sincerity of our heart. So are our prayers because we want to be seen by others? And that's the key. And God will draw closer to you when you are praying with a sincere heart. Now let's go to James 4 and 2. And so our point today that we're talking about is praying pridefully. And now we're going to talk, our next point is about praying the vague prayers. Now last week, we looked at James 4 and 3, which I opened the program with. But now we're going to go right before that scripture to James 2. So right in James, he's dealing with the fact of how we should pray. So we're going to look at James 4. And let's read verse 2, and we'll read 3 again. It says, you desire but do not have, so you kill. You covet but cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. So you don't have because you don't ask. And this is the part we want to focus on. So even with our prideful prayer, and sometimes with that comes the false humility, sometimes we can have what we think is humility, but it can be false. But then on the other side of that, the vague prayers, if you don't ask, you don't receive. When you sometimes you can be like, oh, I'm so proud, I don't want to ask God, oh, I'm just so humble, and oh, I just don't, God is so reverent, and oh, I just don't want to ask, oh, little me, and oh, you know, but God, is you're an heir. And if you are a king's child and you are a queen, you can go into the Father. God, Abba Father, Daddy God, and you can crawl up in his lap and you can ask him even the things on earth for the kingdom purpose. Even if you want finances, it's okay to ask with a heart that you're going to give to the kingdom, not for selfish motive, to have your, you know, your big house and your big car, and then when you get your big house, then let somebody have the key to it and share it, use it for the kingdom, if your heart is right like that. Or maybe you want to get married. God, I want a mate. Ask him, where's my husband, Lord? Where's my wife, Lord? But not just for the sexual part. That's only 5% of the marriage. Maybe you want kids for procreation. That's good. He said, be fruitful, multiply. But it's not for the sexual satisfaction and gratification only. God wants us to have that. But God, I want to be married for kingdom anointing. I want my husband. And if you're a man, I want my wife so we can destroy the devil and take back the nations. Come on, Psalms 2:8. He will make the nations, the earth, your inheritance. Not just so you can have a trophy wife to say, look, I look good. She's a size 0. And I got muscles. No, I got that. Yeah, and I'm her hero, somebody here said. She's my trophy wife, and I'm her hero. No, it's because I'm going out there to take over. And we're going to be one in the spirit, and we're taking Tory. And we're going to be shielded with the spiritual things. Our feet are going to be shod with the gospel, the preparation of peace. Me and my husband, or if you're a man, me and my wife are going to have our loins girded about with truth. Not our loins doing other things. It's a spiritual thing. We're going to have on the breastplate of righteousness because we're getting suited up. It is not about the bottom line, what we wear, and the cars we have, but God wants us to have it, but that's not the point. It's what we get when we seek his kingdom and his righteousness for the kingdom. And we have the breastplate of right, and the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. God is looking for some superheroes for the kingdom that have the word of God.
So why are you asking?
Don't let your prayers be vague. Ask for the kingdom time that we're here. You know, I just, it's kind of like a shock to the people. Sometimes you just have to get right there and just give them a shock. Wake up, church. Because we're like in a maze, in a daze. And we're asking amidst, we're asking vague prayers. And we're so caught up in this time on earth, but it's nothing in comparison to eternity. But why we are here is to ask God for things, for the kingdom. But we haven't received it because we have been praying wrong. So again, James 4:2, you do not have because you do not ask. If you pray infrequently, irregularly, and generally, you'll not receive from the Lord. You need to voice your request. How often have you experienced the scene, "You didn't do this for me"? "Well, you never asked me." "Well, God, you didn't do it for me. You did it for her. You think she's better than me?" No, God said, you didn't ask, and then you asked with wrong motives. You wanted a husband, but you was wanting a husband for something else, not for kingdom business. I had a woman, she told me, went to her shower. She told me she married her husband because he had pretty teeth. It's deeper than the teeth, because if he don't take care of them, they may be false one day, even though God intended for us to have our teeth for eternity. It may seem so simple and so minute, but when we ask, it should be for the kingdom, whatever it is. So let's read this all the way through. James 4:2, you desire, but you don't have. So you kill, you covet, but you can't even get what you want. So you quarrel and fight. I know that's none of you. But you don't have because you do not ask. And when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Now here, that was selfishly asking. But now we're talking about the verse 2 and B part of it. You don't have because you do not ask. So when you pray, we have to ask. We just make a declaration that you won't have infrequent prayers, irregular prayers, general prayers. But you will not receive from the Lord if you don't ask Him. You have to voice your request. You know, I have the spirit of discernment, and I think I'm a good communicator and a good listener. But I would rather someone come to me and directly say, "Would you do this for me? A, B, C," than to do circular reasoning and I have to figure out what they're trying to say to me. Be direct, be specific, and make your request known to God. Even God understands you. But it's like that clarion call. You're going to war. You want to make sure you're hearing the sound and the trumpet. You don't want to hear a trumpet go, doo. You want to hear that sound, that fullness, that clarity. And that's how with God. He will come so quick when it's from the heart. How many testimonies have you heard of people who have gone to the altar? And they said, "God, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired of being sick and tired. Will you help me, God, please?" And boom, he comes. Amen. He'll come. So as we close, it's time to close. See how we just got started? And we have several other points. My prayer to you today is that you ask God and you make it. God will do it for you if you ask. Vague prayers are like no prayers at all. Lord bless so and so. Have you, how many of you pray for that? Jesus save him or her. God help the missionaries. These are vague prayers. And vague prayers get vague answers. Unspoken requests get unmanifested answers. So we're decreeing and declaring today, pray. Pray aloud. Pray often. Pray with others. Be specific. And don't just pray for healing. Pray for specific problems. And then pray the solution. And decree the solution. And walk in the blessing. So that's your assignment today. As we close, I'm Dr. Gwyneth Williams. You've been listening to Lifestyles for a Lifetime Holiness. And today we have talked about wrong praying. Praying vaguely. You don't have the things because you don't ask. And so we decree over your life today. Abba, Father, Daddy, God, we decree and we declare and we ask you for your manifested blessings in our finances, for the kingdom, in our health, because our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, that we may run the good race in holiness. Because you are our Jehovah that lets us walk into the holiness of God, Tishkenu. And God, we want to walk in holiness that we may be a light to you and that your presence may be upon us, that we may go into this dark world and be the light. That's the request. Those are the prayers that we want. For the kingdom, that we may populate heaven and depopulate hell. And when we get our minds off of ourselves and pray for things for the kingdom of God, we will have open heavens and we will inherit the things of the earth and the nations. And where we tread and where we walk, we will possess it because we are praying specific prayers. And that is my prayer. Lord, I ask you for the nations as my inheritance. And I'm believing that the nations will be my inheritance in the natural as well as in the spiritual, because we're not here to play games. We're not here for vague praying. We're not here to be insincere in our heart, but we're here not to take sides and to be wimpish, but we're here to take over the kingdom. Of God is at hand, and the kingdom of God is now, and the kingdom of God is yours. Ask for the nations, for the uttermost parts of the earth, and it shall be your inheritance. I'm asking for America, for my inheritance. I'm asking for the continents of the world for my inheritance. I'm asking God for the kingdom's sake, that souls will be saved and there will be an awakening, and that God would shake the Christians and wake up. What are you asking for today? What are you believing for? Be specific. Be bold. Be strong. For the Lord thy God is waiting on you to ask and not ask amiss. And not to ask vague, but to pray aloud, pray often, and be specific. In Jesus' name, amen.